Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and are having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 281. I'm Josiah Sat for the Villain on Twitter at @comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? Back again, second week for the year of 2020. Let's hit it like we normally do, what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Episode 181. We recorded this in March 20th, 2017. So I'm catching up to these ones a little bit. Episode 181, we entitled hashtag Linebacker phase. At Mem the Beaner and at For the Villain play catch up, along with burnt out stories. So we were both burnt out working. Then roll into what we spoke about 100 episodes ago, along with Twitter love and shout outs. Dropped a new segment, Snapchat. I don't recall what that was. I think I just had a crazy, weird, odd story about something that I had seen on Snapchat from someone I was seeing at the time. That was pretty gnarly. I could be mistaken, but if you guys ever are curious about any of these topics, go back 100 episodes ago. We roll WonderCon 2017 options. I read this and I'm like, what were the options? So in 2017, they were still in Anaheim, and then they went to Los Angeles Convention Center in 2018. So we did that. But the 2017, I don't recall what our options were. Possibly the interviews we had lined up or didn't have lined up, or how we were going to split up working the convention, I believe. Again, if you guys want answers, go back 100 episodes ago. We hit What the Fuck News. Ex-judge admits illegally seeking wife's text for beer. Ex-judge admits illegally seeking wife's text for beer. Okay, Australian teen mauled after jumping in crocodile-infested river for dare. Idiot of the week. Then hit sex facts. Engineer creates sex robot that needs to be romanced first. Oh my god, and why men might underestimate woman's sex drive. Then go into, okay, let's go back a little bit. Engineer creates sex robot that needs to be romanced first. It's hard enough to get laid now, so I'm definitely not going to romance a robot for sex. Hopefully that's something I hit, unless I was just, you know what, fuck this broad, I would rather fuck a robot type of deal. Although I'm pretty sure the name of that title would have been, I would have rather fucked a robot right now. Anyways, then going to comic talk, comic news, Guardians of the Galaxy, Spider-Man Homecoming reshoots, Sony's Venom film gets release date, DC Comics talks about The Batman, Aquaman, Man of Steel scheduling releases, Matrix and The Fly reboots, Jim Lee art and variant covers for X-Men, a new DC Dark Days from Scott Snyder, Jim Lee, Andy Cooper, then finally rock some comic reviews, Tom King's Batman, I Am Bane, number 14 through number 19, which was a great story. Arc of the Year candidate that year, Nightwing number 17, which was Book of the Week, actually all these. Venom number 5 was Book of the Week. And then two more books of the week were Daredevil and Super Sons for that show. All right, guys, I'm going to hit some quick bullet points. Just the first one real quick. This is episode 281. Today is January 16th, 2020. I'm going to hit my 300th episode soon. Granted, it's about, the numbers I came across, I would say it would put me about late May to be going to that. That's what the projection looks like by the time episode 300 drops. So I've been wanting to do this for a while, and this is the perfect time to do it. Is a giveaway contest for posters, for trade paperbacks. It's just cool shit that I've come across this past year, and posters that I get that are hard to find, extremely hard to find. I want to start a contest, and it's going to go into the next bullet point. have everyone that's listening, do me a huge favor, just drop a review for the Comic Syndicate on any podcast app you listen on. So Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podomatic, Podchaser, CastBox, Stitcher, Spotify, SoundCloud, however you listen to podcasts, do me a huge favor and just like it, share it, rate it. Rate us, of course, but also leave a review if you guys could. That is going to be the premise of the contest giveaway. So everyone, I want you guys to please get your friends more involved in this. Write a review. Grab their phones from them. Write a review on behalf of themselves from their phone. Jump on their podcast app and steal their phone real quick and subscribe to the Comic Syndicate. Just give me some sort of love like that. And if you guys do this, like, send a screenshot of where you guys posted up this review or rating. And screenshot if you guys could. I will keep track of that, make a note of it. And you guys will automatically be inputted into that drawing for whatever it is. And I have a lot of cool stuff, again, like I said. So trade paperbacks, dope posters you guys can't find, hard to find, like, just cool, down, legit fucking cool shit. So if you guys could do that, I'm going to start keeping track of that. But you guys aren't going to be the only ones involved. I'm going to put shit up on Twitter. I'm going to put shit up on Instagram so more people can get involved and, like, share it and just share it and share it as much as you can. And let's create something just a little bit bigger. Like, that spark is back and I'm ready to fucking burn this motherfucker down. So I need your guys' help on that. All right. Again, 2 months out. No, not even that. Maybe it's going to be, so about 4 months out by the time I get there. A good 20 episodes for you guys to go through. It's not necessarily around the corner, but I can see it without a set of binoculars. Like, it's going to fly by. I know the way I work. All right, guys, that's all I got for bullet points. Let's hit some comic news, comic talk real quick.
2, 1. What's up, guys? This is Sholo Mighty Dueña, Miguel Diaz from Cobra Kai. This is Jacob Bertrand. I play Hawk. And you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Woo! All right, guys, let's hit some news. IDW Smithsonian team up to create library of graphic novels. This one was just interesting to me, and let me read this article, and hopefully you guys find it interesting as well. Starting this fall, the Smithsonian Institution and IDW Publishing will produce a series of graphic novels based on the Smithsonian's vast holdings in science, art, history, and culture. So far, plans include biographical graphic novels, coloring, and picture books for children and adults. We have historical adaptations and a series of graphic novels based on time trials, the National Museum of American History's video series for young students. And this is an exact quote. The most energizing thing about working with the Smithsonian's curators, researchers, and zookeepers is that these are not just experts in their fields. They're storytellers, IDW president, publisher, and CCO Chris Ryle said in a statement. Together, we'll use the unique power of comics to entertain, inspire, and educate readers of all ages about the wonders of history, science, technology, culture, and more. Justin Eisinger, IDW's editorial director of graphic novels and collections, remarked that comics, quote-unquote, can communicate complex ideas in the blink of an eye, explaining, as our art form becomes increasingly central to the work of educators in libraries, this program presents a unique and important opportunity to align IDW's mission of quality graphic storytelling with the Smithsonian's quest to share information with curious minds everywhere. I'm down with this. Like, the Smithsonian, I would love to visit the Smithsonian exhibit sometime in my life, and it's going to happen, but the fact that a comic book publishing company and not part of the big two or even the big three, I guess, Marvel, DC, and Image Comics, there are still so many publishers out there, but IDW has been one that's been around for a long time, so the fact that they're going to bring more content in comic book and graphic novel form, and apparently even coloring books for a younger generation of history and art and culture, I'm fucking completely down with this. All right. Let's hit some fucking cheesy, I guess, movies, TV. Mark Paul Gosselaar is scheduled to return for Saved by the Bell revival. I loved and grew up on the show as a kid. Do I care about this reboot? You know what? I can't even talk that much shit because I didn't think Cobra Kai was going to be as great as it is. So, and I do like these people. I like these characters. So, you know what? Yeah, let's give it a shot. We'll see what happens. Next one is going to be Uncharted. Sony reportedly eyeing Venom director to helm Tom Holland film. Sony is reportedly looking to Ruben Fleischer of Zombieland and Venom fame as a new director of Uncharted. That's been a rumor for the longest time, just like the Halo show that's or movie that's going to come out. Next one's going to be Child's Play. Sci-Fi orders Don Mancini's Chucky TV show to series. All right, guys, how do we feel about this? Do we have enough scary stuff on TV? I don't think so. Ghost Hunters is a thing, but like, I don't know, like, Freddy's Nightmares back in the day were kind of pretty dope and gnarly. Speaking of scary, or even suspense, The Silence of the Lambs sequel series confirmed for CBS. The Silence of the Lambs will return in a new sequel series simply titled Clarice. Next one is going to be DC talk, I guess. Crisis on Infinite Earths wrapped up this week. Again, today's the 16th of January. And I believe the last episode was yesterday, but yes, how do we feel about it? How did you guys feel about it? Did you guys catch all the Easter eggs? Because there were a lot of them. I caught the first episode and the second to the last episode, so it wrapped up 2 days ago. My bad, guys. The 14th. I caught a really cool one. I don't want to spoil anything, but Ezra Miller's Flash was in it, and that was kind of cool. But still keeping it on DC, DC's Gotham City Sirens film officially on hold, says David Ayer. Okay, we have Harley Quinn, the Emancipation of Harley Quinn, the Birds of Prey, Yes, that, look, I don't know what's going on. Warner Brothers' new AI system grades stars films during green light system. Maybe this is why. Warner Brothers signed a deal with Synalytic to use the tech company's artificial intelligence during the early stages of development on projects, according to The Hollywood Reporter. The new deal will allow Warner Brothers to use Synalytic's AI-operated system management to direct decision-making during the green light process. Okay. In a nutshell, instead of having a board of directors like, okay, you know what? We like this idea. Do it. The AI is going to come up with an algorithm that is going to shoot out the information. This movie will sell. This movie is going to suck. No one's going to watch this movie. Like, that's essentially what it's going to be. And it's literally going to get greenlit based off of AI. How do you guys feel about that? That is a fucking thing now. And of course, Warner Brothers would go that route. The Batman I am curious about, Harley Quinn don't care for, still haven't seen Shazam, so I haven't seen Aquaman, and yeah, I'm trying to think of anything I did like from DC. Not really. Just the shows, I guess. Next one's going to be Marvel. Marvel could start getting its Netflix heroes back this year. Marvel should start getting the rights back to the heroes of Netflix's Marvel shows later this year. But Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist still face uncertain futures, according to several reports. Marvel would regain the rights to the characters 2 years after the date of the cancellation of their respective series. If true, that would mean Iron Fist would be back in play by October 12, 2020, followed by Luke Cage on October 19th and Daredevil on November 29th. I'm curious about what they would do if they get the rights back. I would love to see those shows back in some sort of capacity, but if you guys have been watching Disney Plus, it's really kid-friendly. Like, they kept a lot of stuff in a lot of the movies, like a lot of the racial things and bigoted things that did happen in a lot of, especially the old school cartoons. And these are written very dark for a mature audience. Like, Jessica Jones fucks Luke Cage, like most of the show. But even Daredevil, it's dark and it deals with heavy material. So I don't know, maybe toss it on Hulu because it's under the banner still, or the umbrella. I don't know. I'm still curious. I love those characters. Doctor Strange 2, this news came out. Scott Derrickson steps down as director. This happened, oh my gosh, a few days ago. I want to say on Monday. And even though he did step down as director, the report is that the movie, Doctor Strange 2, is still on schedule despite that departure. So I'm curious about this movie. I think everyone is. Disney confirms the new movie. It's is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. All right. I believe I hit this last week. The trailer for The New Mutants dropped. It looks like fucking the Dream Warriors. Like, I spoke to my brother the day it dropped, and he's like, how do you feel about it? I'm like, it looks dope, dude. It looks like the Dream Warriors, like Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3, the Dream Warriors. And he's like, it looks weird, and it looks like a scary movie. And I love it. So I'm just curious how Kevin Feige is going to make this all work and still have this be part of the cinematic universe. So technically, they wouldn't have to reintroduce the X-Men. This is an offshoot team of X-Men, but they're fucking dope characters. Give me Sunspot, Cannonball, give me Ileana Rasputin, Magic all day fucking long, Wolf's Bane. I love those characters. So can't wait. And that one's going to be in our summer movie draft. Next one's going to be, rumor is Marvel Studios may have gained full control over Hulk and Namor. So I'm really hoping that's a thing. If that is, they can, oh my gosh, Namor in the MCU would be fucking huge. And to do a Hulk proper movie by itself or standalone would be pretty dope as well. All right, let's see. We have, oh, this was a rumor. Disney Plus's Hawkeye series has been delayed indefinitely. Disney Plus did get back and say, like, whoa, we don't know where these reports came from, but that's total BS. That was interesting. Let's talk about Morbius's first trailer. Did you guys see it? Pull up Morbius trailer on YouTube. If you guys haven't seen it, come back. Put this on pause, check it out, and then come back real quick. I love Spider-Man's rogues gallery of villains, and Morbius is just a dope fucking character. I really didn't want to like it because Sony was behind it, and Sony was behind Venom. And I love the fuck out of Venom and Eddie Brock, and that movie was very, very terrible. So I feel like I got gypped on that. I just didn't want to get gypped on this. But the trailer does look good, and there are some Easter eggs already. So again, put on pause, and if you guys have seen it, you guys know the Easter eggs I'm talking about. Michael Keaton's in it towards the end, and Spider-Man, although it looks like Sam Raimi's Spider-Man plastered on the wall and the alleyway as he's walking down. So again, just curious about those ones. Report: Disney developing Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic television show. Disney is reportedly developing a Knights of the Old Republic Disney Plus series set in the Star Wars universe, as well as a previously reported Knights of the Old Republic film. You know what? If it's on Disney Plus, I'm kind of down. A new rumor that came out today is Thor's Taika Waititi in talks to develop a new Star Wars movie. You know what? He directed the last episode of The Mandalorian, episode 8. You can tell the feel of each director, like Bryce Dallas Howard was on it. Taika Waititi did the last one, and you guys can feel what they bring to the table. Like, you can tell it was a lot more of a comedic route, but it was good and heartfelt, and that's what Taika Waititi is really good at doing. But give me that guy on more Marvel stuff, more Disney stuff, and even more Star Wars stuff. All right, guys, we're going to hit some comic reviews real quick. Hopefully, they're going to be quick. The last two reviews I'm going to go are from 2019, and these are titles that literally just ended. This was a 3-issue arc. It's a DC Comics title. It's the DC Black Label, though. So it's an Elseworlds title for the most part. There was only 3 issues. This is the last one. Batman, Last Night on Earth number 3. Greg Capullo is the artist. Scott Snyder is the writer. Starts off with Batman and Gordon on top of the Gotham City Police Department about to relight the bat signal, where there's a bit of bickering between these two now, with Batman finally telling Jim what he's learned. The dead boy that he found in Crime Alley is the estranged son of Joe Chill. So exactly what happened in the first issue. That all the records, details about his life and death have all been erased. And Batman's like, it was a simple appendectomy. Oh, fuck, man. Should have been easy, but the doctor, he was drunk, carved the boy's intestines apart. The boy died in pain, alone, calling for his parents. The doctor was listed as Thomas Wayne. As Gordon says, Batman. After the death, it seems money was funneled to the boy's mother through dummy accounts. The Wayne's estate paid to make it all disappear. Make it look like they were innocent. Like their murder in that alley was the height of injustice. If it wasn't, though, if it was revenge, as Jim now finally lights the signal, and story now jumps to current times, beneath the old Wayne estate, with an old friend and blind Jim Gordon now. So that first few pages happened in the past, and we see an old blind Jim Gordon now welcoming his friend to the Owl Cave, where Dick Grayson now interjects and explains to Batman what happened. Bruce, understand that when it started, the mayhem, we fought as bats. But that symbol, it's become something corrupted, as Duke Johnson interrupts. As we see now all of Grayson's owls and Barbara Gordon all along this cave, as we see a small glimpse of Joker's expression, because he literally has Joker's head in a glass jar. Again, this is an Elseworlds title. There's a lot, not a lot of cussing, but it's more violent and just the writing is a lot darker. And you just see this Joker expression like he's like, oh, what am I learning here? Which is really cool. And Batman said, you've been fighting the whole time. Dick's answer is no. We fought through the Clay Wars, the season of demons, all of it. But when Omega rose through the rape, he was nothing we'd faced before. He was you, but mad with passion. Stronger, faster, he took us all down. He took everyone, the whole city. For a long time we were under his control too. Years, as he further explains to Batman what they've been through. It was Tim who saved us. He'd fallen in the early days, so Red Robin, Tim Drake, had his neck broken in a Grundy pit. So they thought he was done. But he fought back, developed a suit that responded to his thoughts. He created a blocker for the signal. He freed us and an army of 100 good people. Fighters. Where Batman now gets more unnerved over all this. Wanted to go on the attack now. But with Barbara showing him their casualties and even Bruce saying like, let's go after him. Now's the time to do it. And Dick tells him again, fight what? Where the fuck have you been? Like, we needed help. We went after them. We lost. Like, this happened 2 days ago. And I'm going to go into a few things. It's worth reading, guys. Definitely go find them. And it enforces one more time that this, again, is a future story. So Batman wakes up, gets shot by this kid in Crime Alley. He wakes up in Arkham Asylum. He's a younger Bruce Wayne, and all his rogues gallery is there as doctors. And the doctors are trying to tell him, like, you've been tripping the whole time, dude. You're not a bat. You're not a Batman. Look at all the doctors you've been attacking. Like, you've been fucked up in the head for so long. It's just really interesting. So how he kind of had his subconsciousness put into a younger body. And this is the Batman for you. Like, these contingency plans he has. And does it sound so far-fetched if it's Batman? Not really. Where now he makes a point, again, to go after Omega. Like, we have to go after him. And Barbara's daughter, Bryce, now offers up an idea. Since he's here, maybe now she'll help us? And again, Batman wanting now to go after them. A more ruthless and cunning version of himself. That's also stronger and faster than he is. Where they now set out for, quote-unquote, her help. And offers them more than they expected once they get there. The real lasso of truth. Nightwing's, Dick Grayson's Eskrima sticks. So they can go to work now. And just a little small interaction between these two. Selina Kyle, as she gives them these tools, and she was working for Omega. As Omega now is also ready to make his move. And this is some dialogue and some context on what happens. Or narrative, I guess. We split up into two teams. Diana would lead the Owls to Arkham Island to go after Omega's amplifier. And Bats and I would make our way to Wayne Tower, where the signal was grounded. Selina had given us all means to avoid detection, gray ghost scramblers, and so on. But to be safe, both teams would stick to the ruined sites from the last campaign. The Owls circled around the remains of the Iceberg Lounge, which served as an Alamo of sorts. Me and Bats moved through the tunnels they used to retreat. At first, it felt too quiet, too easy, like the city was watching as it decided what to do with us. Its great stone eye following us as we pushed farther along. But then again, after a while, we all started to relax, to believe, and it occurred to me, this is what it felt like on the other side of the divide. All those years, I'd been the one who knew what was coming, because something was always coming. But just then, moving through the dark with my oldest enemy, I forget all that. Even as the fighting started, I bought in, watching him leap and punch and kick. I believed. I really did. Despite everything, I felt as light as a bird fluttering in my jar. Right up until it was too late. Batman's getting attacked by Omega's men now. Joker, where are you? Hail, Omega, as a robot comes out. Joker. No, not Joker. And a lot of cool shit happens. Joker used the suit that Tim Drake had made. Even though he got his neck broken, and we see him in a Robin outfit, which is fucking gnarly. And using Tim's Robin suit is fucking dope. And it's a great levity moment. And it's Joker being Joker. I should have worn it on the outside, right? The mask? Robin would have worn it on the outside. Shit. It's just funny. So now we see both sides travel on. The Owls and Batman and Robin, I guess. The Owls deep in the stronghold and Batman and Joker, Robin in further. Knowing what's to come. The Owls are getting hit with heavy guards, and Batman and Joker are hit with. As soon as they enter, Joker says, "It's almost like your cave." Instead of tributes to his allies, his friends, is filled with, Batman's like, trophies of conquest. As we see, again, if you guys know the Batcave, he always has trophies. But this one is more like Sinestro dead, Black Adam dead, Brainiac dead, Black Manta dead. Like, everyone dead that he's had to go through. I don't want to ruin who Omega is, but it's Batman losing it. The story is that Batman let warn people into the Hall of Justice, and he saw what humanity really was. And he's like, fuck, we couldn't stop them. So it's a weird story. It's a great story. The way it ends, it's only a 3-issue story, and it's a great story. I did enjoy it, but I love Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo. To end that one, Scott Snyder said he always had envisioned like this ending for Batman, and advice he got as a writer was like, make sure you always write and complete something. Like, take these characters somewhere they've never been before and make them your own. And you can tell these two cats together on Batman, it almost feels like he's not going to be writing Batman anymore or for a long time. But the way he writes about Batman and just Batman stories with Greg Capullo drawing Batman, these two cats together, I've loved since day one, since they started Batman in 2014-15. So it was beautiful. DC, worth checking out, guys. Next one, final one, is going to be a Marvel title. King Thor, number 4. This one was a 4-issue arc for this one for Marvel. Also ended last year, 2019. King Thor, number 4. Writer is Jason Aaron. Assad Ribic is the artist. This day, at the end of all days, he has been gutted, both emotionally and physically. He has exploded an entire planet of napalm in his own ancient face. He has been crucified, burned by the stars, skewered with the bones of all those he failed to save, and half drowned in a black ocean of God-butchering necro power alongside his mutilated brother. He has watched the golden halls of his realm go up in flames. Now he holds his own guts inside himself, through sheer force of all will, swinging a hammer heavier than a world, heavier than anything that has ever moved, has ever been moved by any living being. He is Thor, the Thunder King, the Almighty, All-Father. But today, he earns another name as well. Thor hears himself screaming it over the burning roar of black stars and shrieking moons and comets made of knives. Ragnarok. Ragnarok has come. And it is Thor. Thor, the All-Butcher, the Annihilagod, the twilight of all that is or will ever be. All hail King Thor, the End Father. And that's the story. Oh my god, I'm going to go into so much. Gore, you cannot destroy me, Thunder God. I am everything now. I have become the superclusters, the constellations, the dark nebulae. Are the fingers of Gore, and this black hole is my hungry gullet, where you will be butchered on a molecular level and digested by the universe you left forsaken. The anti-Genesis. As we see Thor on his last down now, we get that dialogue from Gore. And that's now it just ready to consume Thor. With Thor now realizing that Gore was always right. And this is where I'm going to interject real quick. So Jason Aaron has been writing this character for 7 years since 2000. Oh my gosh, 12. All the runs of Thor have been him and Jane Foster becoming Thor. He wrote that Gore, the God Butcher. Those stories are great and beautiful because Assad Ribic so does the art. He fucks up Thor and ends up telling him, "You're not worthy." And Thor knows that he's unable to wield his hammer. It's a beautiful story worth checking out, guys. And that's why he says he realizes he was right the whole time. As he gets swallowed now into this blackness, his brother finally arrives a little bit late to fight Gore as well. He's eyeless. He's lost both his eyes by Gore. Like, Gore systematically fucked up Loki and chopped off his arm. And we get some great interactions between these two characters now, as we also get this monologue over Thor's own struggles and failures. Like, and these pages are beautiful. Now, it's a very heavy dialogue-driven book. Like, Thor just feeling as he's getting enveloped. I wasn't strong enough. I wasn't worthy enough. I wasn't good enough. I wasn't God enough. Like, these things, like, I failed. And those thoughts and feelings and emotions, sometimes I think we all get at one point or another. His unceasing quest for his father's love and acceptance. His war with his own pride. His failures as a lover, a father, an all-father. His everyday struggle to be worthy whatever the hell that means. In his darkest days, in the hours when divine depression seemed heavier than any enchanted hammer ever possibly could, Thor liked to imagine that he would live long enough to eventually best those demons, every last one. But only now, at the end, does he realize that no such day will ever come. No one is ever truly free of the darkest parts of themselves. You only learn to better live with the demons, to channel the rage and shame, to be the storm. But in the midst of the roar, there is Loki, somehow as loud as that storm, telling Gore a story of every life his brother has ever saved. Billions upon billions of them. Every war he's ever won or averted. Every grand heroic deed. Even the ones no one ever knew about. Every moment of kindness and valor. Loki knows his story by heart. Every word. And he wields it like a knife in the ear of the universe itself. As Loki says, now do you see Gore was right, but Thor is Thor. Beautifully written, those pages when Thor is enveloped and this inner monologue goes on, and we get the emotional aspect of what Thor's going through and what he's trying to muster up, the courage and the fight and the will and the balls just to go at it and get up one more time. And it looks like he's going to be the one to stop Gore. But Gore is so enveloped in his mindset and this all cancerous universe destruction that he knows he was wrong. And his Thor's brother is the one that saves everyone, because he can't take this reality. He can't take this truth. And it kind of breaks him. And it's beautiful. So it ends. Okay, a lot of stuff happens in this issue. Future stories that are not written yet. It is beautiful. A lot of artists are on here. And it's great to see. And it's great to see both sides of this. And Thor's daughters. And how they continue on. And again, Thor God Cop, it is going to be interesting. As Loki now continues on. Easy boy, it's all right. Just a little farther. Like I said, we still have one last story to tell. And we haven't told it yet. This old son isn't exactly the ending I was hoping for. But well, I suppose it's the one I deserve. Loki's final sacrifice had reignited the sun, the last star, and it saved the final specks of life left in the universe. It was said, you could hear Loki's whispers in the falling sunlight, that his soul was still burning inside the star, powering the sun with words, not with lies, with stories. It's a beautiful title. Again, like I said, Jason Aaron has been working on Thor for 7 years. A lot of cool stuff, a lot of good dialogue, a lot of just beautiful moments. And then even at the end, like the final page is Jason Aaron writing about Thor. And it's a love letter, and it's a thank you to all his art teams, Asad Ribic, Russell Dodderman, everyone that has ever helped him out. And he's said this is going to be his last Thor story. It was great to read him, and the God Butcher, the God Bomb that Adam got me into. And then Jane Foster, Thor, the Mighty Thor, was beautiful and gorgeous. And I loved her, and I love her as Thor. So Donny Cates is going to take over the new Thor run, which I'm going to be reviewing soon. But these are, again, the past two shows are just three issues from 2019 that are beautiful and great and worth checking out. If you like Marvel, go grab this. It's just a 4-issue arc, but it's beautiful. If you're a Batman DC fan, go find the Black Label. Batman The Last Night on Earth. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Subscribe, rate the podcast, share the podcast, leave some reviews, and every review that gets put up, again, just hit me up on the side. Tweet me or fucking Instagram message me, direct message me. I don't care. Facebook message me. Let's get someone some cool shit. All right, guys, I love doing this. Yeah, thanks for listening. I will catch you guys next week. Share the podcast, rate us, share us. Oh, and one more time, drop a review. I'll catch you guys next week. Peace out.